West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ, Afternoon Special Fellowship.
Coming down on the airplane, it's all just smoke and haze. But I believe this afternoon here there's no pollution. This is a place where the only place there is really fresh air. Amen. The real fresh air is the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit is the real air that we breathe. Everything else is polluted. Everything else is bad for your health. Only when we breathe in the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the glorified Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, the pneumatic Christ himself, then we're really healthy. You know, if you breathe too much of this air, just like people who smoke, not just first-hand smoke, but they say second-hand smoke is worse because you don't see it. You think you're not doing this. Actually, you are doing smoking second-hand. And before you know it, your lungs is just invaded by that junk. And in a long, over time, it just injure or harm your lungs and all manners of diseases, especially cancer, you see, especially cancer. And lung cancer is one of the, I believe, maybe the first cancer killer. First kind of fatal cancer in the United States. So my point is, take care of what you breathe. Now I'm not talking about the physical smoke or the physical cigarette. I'm talking about the spiritual cigarette, the spiritual smoke, which is all in the atmosphere. You understand? In the on the campus, in the classroom, it's actually puffing out of your professor's mouth all the evil smoke, spiritual smoke. And you don't know. You're just sitting there innocently breathing it in. You know, you're just going to a class. You thought you're learning geography. Actually, what is coming out of the mouth is poison. And you're sitting there day in, day out, breathing in unawares this poison, poisonous gas, which is transparent, which you cannot see, but I tell you, it is deadly. And over time, 4 years in college, you've been just in that environment, breathing that in, and you don't know that you have contracted something that will, become cancerous in you. 10 years later, 15 years later, sometimes longer, you say, what's wrong? One day you go to get a CAT scan and an MRI, you found out you have cancer. And that was from a long time ago. So, brothers and sisters, I'd like to say a word. What you take in is very important. You see, look at me. I have many holes, right? And all these holes, and you do too, are the places where I take things in. All right. Firstly, my eyes. See my eyes? These are not just eyes, so I can see things. I tell you, these eyes are a gateway that things come into me. You know, today if I'm blind, I will hardly take in anything. But I'm open. I tell you all the glitter, all the stuff, all the things, you know, the movies, the things, you know what I mean. Everywhere you turn, things are just coming in through your eyes into your being. Do you know that? Whether you like it or not. You know, there is a supposedly a famous story of this hymn. It's in the hymn. There's one hymn. that talks about this Christian, I believe it's a lady, I'm not very sure, who was born blind, and he asked God to heal her so that he could see. And one day that happened. She was healed, and he saw the world around her. And after some time, she said, she prayed to God, make me blind again. Make me blind again. This, I don't want to see this. And there's a song. Actually, you can find it somewhere. I don't know if somebody can help us find it. Huh? What does it say in 7-Eleven? Lord, make me blind once more. Something like this. Huh? 405? What is it? Can you give me a verse or all the chorus or something like that? Yeah. Okay, could you read read it? Read it to us. Well, that's just the chorus, right? Could you read the hymn to us? How many verses? Okay, maybe two of you just stand up and read it to us.
Having seen the world's fair beauty, Lord, I would be blind once more, lest I lose the loving presence and delight I knew before. Having seen the world's fair beauty, Lord, I would be blind once more, lest I lose the loving presence and delight I knew before. Dawn and sunset, star and moonlight, I can see in paradise. But while here on earth his mercy for my blindness will suffice. I no more would be delivered from my thorn but look for grace. While within the veil his glory shineth brightly on my face. In the deep dark night his beauty I by faith not sight may trace. He was ridiculed and hated, yet I see his glorious face. Sun and moonlight far surpassing, cloud and Milky Way overspread, is the glory all transcending, shining from his thorn crowned head.
See, here actually the person is not even talking about she has seen some bad, worldly things. She's just talking about even the creation, the something positive, something of wonder, something that is quite magnificent and splendid, the Milky Way, the sun, the moons are just beautiful. This is God's creation. But even that, he said, I've seen that. Lord, make me blind again. Because none of that can compare with one sight of the peerless one. This week you have been on that I may gain Christ. Who would be like Paul, who would count all things loss, even as refuse? This top dog, so to speak, in Judaism, would give that up. This is just like you just got your PhD in something. And you're just about to go and make a name for yourself in the scientific community and make this kind of contribution and that. And at that moment, you give it all up. You give it all up. I mean, who would do that? Only someone who has found something much more worthy, much more precious would do that. I tell you, brothers and sisters, this song I knew from when I was my youth and is one of my favorite songs, as it was also many others' favorite song. But I tell you, you must have that experience. I don't mean you have to pray to be physically blinded. This is too much. In that case, it was. But I don't mean that. I mean you have to pray that the Lord will blind you. We all have to pray the Lord will blind me. And not to blind me so that my whole being can be focused on Christ, on Him, you see. I come back to my eyes again. Your eyes, I tell you, you cannot go walk down the street or walk down the campus without 1,000 things, right, competing for your attention. Am I right? Screaming at you, luring you. Look at me. Get me. Buy me. I'm what you need. I'm exactly what you need. I tell you, just before long, you know, your whole being is just drawn by all these things that comes into you through your eyes. I mean, it's really true. Sometimes I wish I'm blinded. I don't even have a choice. I just can't see. Then I think I'll be kept quite a lot more. Don't you think? You have to pray, Lord, blind me. Do something to blind me. You see? But what will blind you? Really, only one thing will blind you. When you see the Lord. There's at least one case, and that is on the Mount of Transfiguration. You have these disciples there, and suddenly the Lord was transfigured before them, right? This is a miniature of the millennial kingdom. And it says he was just shining, you know. The Lord Jesus was there shining in his glory. And it says at that time, I tell you, a cloud came, and then the voice from the Father, this is my beloved, right? Hear him. I tell you, these disciples were all blinded at that moment. They were just blinded. I tell you, and when they got up, it says they saw no man but Jesus only. You know, this week should be a blinding training. I wish after these 6 days you got blinded. You, the glory. Sometimes you know what blinds you? When you look at the sun too long. Am I right? Never look at the sun. It will blind you. It will burn your retina or burn something, and it can permanently blind you if you attempt to look at the sun directly. Well, I'm going to tell you to look at the sun. S-O-N. Look at the sun until you're blinded. Look at the sun until you turn and you have lost sight of everything except the very image that is permanently imprinted into you, that of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is your need as young persons. You don't need to know so much. You don't need to this or that. You need to be blinded by a sight of peerless worth. 'Tis the look that melted Peter, right? 'Tis the face that Stephen saw. Can alone from what? Idols draw. And I tell you, dear saints, there's no way you can give up idols. And anything can become your idols. Fashion can become your idol. Your education can become your idol. Your hobby can become your idol. Some singer can become your idol. You know, today I just am so behind on all these rock bands and whatever. I don't even know what kind of bands they are, what kind of music. There's so many genres of music there's a band called Coldplay. I was told they're very big or something like that. I don't know. I tell you, anything can become your idol. The only way to be safe from that is not trying to give it up, trying to reject it, trying to push it aside. It doesn't work. Because you see it, and you are attracted by it, and you fall for it. The only way is you look at the sun long enough, your eyes are permanently blinded, permanently ruined, that you will see nothing but that image that blinded you, and that will stick in your retina forever. And that is the image of the firstborn Son of God. This wonderful Jesus, this precious God-man, this Christ that just ruined and wrecked the Apostle Paul's life. It made him from this top dog in Judaism into a nobody, but someone eventually who gave his whole life to do nothing but to pursue to gain him, that I may gain Christ. Amen. What an utterance. What an utterance. What an exclamation, that I may gain Christ. So this eyes is where it comes in. Take care of what comes in your eyes. It's very, very critical. All right? You better look at the Lord Jesus a lot. You know, in the morning you get up, the first thing is to take a good look at the Lord. Amen. Right? During the day, you have to keep taking looks at the Lord. And I don't mean just kind of a half gaze. I'm talking about a solid, right, look, you know, at the index of his eyes. This is what is morning revival. This is the real prayer. This is the real fellowship with the Lord. It's about looking at him all the time in your spirit. You must do this. I guarantee you, the more you do this, you will be a blinded person. And every day we need to be blinded once more, you know, because something got in again, right? Lord Jesus. You see, then in the evening, you go to the meeting as a blind person. But let me tell you, a person who is blinded to the world is a person whose eyesight is the keenest in spiritual things. People who are half blind, they don't see the Lord so clearly. They don't see God's economy so clearly. They don't see God's purpose so clearly. They don't have wisdom or discernment. People who are half blind. Only people who are totally blinded by the Lord, I tell you, their inner being is keen, full of discernment. They know what's valuable and what is junk. If you are not blinded, you just don't know what it, you think junk is diamond. It's actually a piece of junk. You can't tell because it's fake. It's falsified. It's counterfeit. You don't even know because you're not blinded enough. When you're so blinded, I tell you, inwardly, you're a clear person about this universe, about the things of man, about the things of God, even about your own life. You'll be so crystal clear because you're blinded. A person who is not blinded, they're just polluted. They are just not clear. They are befuddled. They are just blurry, you know, blurry. You know, it says, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. You know, if your eye is single towards the Lord, your whole being is in light. Everything is light. Everything is clear. I contact a lot of young people. I touch them. I talk to them. I shake their hands. Right away, I feel there's no light there. It's just something mixed. It's not clear, this person. You know, it says the water out of in Revelation 22, the water that came out of the throne is crystal clear. Clear as crystal. The more you drink that river, the more clearer you will become. You see, not muddy. You know, it's a kind of a muddy, you know. But I have also met some young people. My goodness, I touch them. There's some clarity there. They're clear. I don't mean they're smart. You know what I mean. It's different. They are just clear. Their being is clear. They're transparent. I tell you, these people I know, they're full of light because their eyes are single. They're not distracted. They just see the Lord. They just see the Lord, right? Now, what else you take in? Your ears, these two holes. First, these two holes take in stuff. These two holes for sure take in stuff. You're going to be blinded, but you can still hear things, right? And I tell you, Satan comes in there. Wherever God wants to come in, God wants it to come into you through the same holes. The devil also knows that he wants to come into you through the same place, same channels. So your ears, what you hear, brothers and sisters, is very, very critical. You know, today, all the junk, you know, just filling the airwaves, right? In the entertainment realm, in the sports realm, in the political realm, in all kinds of realm, it is just a I mean, the noise level is unbelievable, okay? I mean, how many channels there are on this and how many channels there are on that. You just take your pick. I tell you, this thing comes in your ears and it pollutes you. It causes cancer. It causes you to be sick. And you wonder, what happened to me? Because you've been listening too much to that stuff. That's why you got sick. There's really nothing that magical. There's nothing that mystical about it. You are what you eat. That means whatever you take in, you become that way. You know, if you listen to that kind of music a lot, you will start dressing like people who play those music. You know what I mean? You're starting having tattoos over here and there, because the people who produce that kind of music are like that. It's not just the music, it's that element, that essence that is transmitted by those musical notes and that beat and that sound into your being. And before long, you know it, I tell you, that stuff works in you to make you like that, make you exactly like what that music talks about. Are you following me? This is happening left and right to the young people today. I tell you, what is shaping our young people today? This kind of pop culture, right? So-called pop culture. I call it, this is the world. This is Satan. You see, using all these form of things to pollute you, make you sick. Eventually, he doesn't want to just make you sick. He wants to kill you. The thief wants to, what? Steal and to destroy. Satan is a stealer and a destroyer. That's what he wanted to do. Eventually, he wanted to just wipe you off the map. He just wanted to obliterate you. That means there's one less vessel on the earth for God's purpose. And God will have one less expression, unit of expression of himself by killing you. And he does not do a quick one. He doesn't pull out the AK-47 and shoot you and blast you. You know what he does? He does it in a slow way. I tell you, you know, today I was reading about the Lord Jesus being tested in the wilderness, you know, at 30 years old. After the three tests which the Lord won all three rounds. Amen. It was a knockout, let me tell you. After that, you know what Satan left. It doesn't just say that. It says Satan left and he waited for an opportune time to come again. Let me tell you, Satan is not just for a one shot. Satan knows if he's beaten back, he's going to come back again. He's waiting for an opportune time when you're weak, when you feel down, when you feel deprived, when you feel sick, when you feel something. I tell you, opportune time comes. Satan comes when you are in that kind of mode, you see? To what? To test you, to tempt you, to seduce, to entice you, you see? With the world, right? Am I right? And with so many other devilish things. So beware. I'm saying beware. What else comes into you? I tell you, your nose, am I right? Things come through your nose, that's air. I just talked about that already. What you breathe, you're saying. Of course, today what you breathe is just bad air and this kind of a thing. But I'm applying this spiritually. What you breathe. Oh, I like that song. I cannot breathe enough of thee. Oh, gentle breeze of love. Am I right? We have to breathe the Lord Jesus as so many kind of trees. You just read that song, right? He is the fragrant one. He is the sweet air. He is the healthy oxygen. All right, we need to breathe him every day. I tell you, the more you breathe, trust me, you become healthy. You become healthy. You know, you had fires up here now. But we had fires last year there, down in Southern California. That was so bad. You know, I go out there, my car is like dust. And I couldn't believe that's what I was breathing. I didn't know I breathed the same thing, moleculars, whatever it is. I breathed that in. It got into me. So those days, I still remember why we're talking. We all feel lethargic. We just can hardly move. We don't want to get up, you know? You know why? Because of what we breathe in. You find yourself, how come I don't want to go to meetings? How come I don't want to pray? How come I don't want to pursue the Lord? You know why? You better check what you've been breathing. What have you been breathing, brother? What have you been breathing this last few days, sister? Check, and you will soon find out why. All right? And one last thing, your mouth. The last hole is your mouth. Oh, the mouth is what you eat. My goodness, what you eat. Oh, what you take in, my goodness, will be assimilated by you, will be digested by you, will become your cells, will become your blood vessels, will become everything. You are what you eat. You better take care of your diet, brothers and sisters. I'm very concerned. You know today why people are unhealthy? It's mainly because of diet. They say today if we change the diet of America, the whole medical thing wouldn't be a problem anymore. The problem is not in curative medicine. The problem is in preventive medicine. Because there's not enough preventive medicine, there has to be so much curative, billions and billions of dollars to cure something that could have been prevented. And the prevention is on your lifestyle, on what you eat. On what you eat, especially on what you eat. Take care of what you eat. Brothers and sisters, take care of what you eat spiritually every day. All right? Now, I'm just looking at over here in Philippians. You've been on Philippians, right? Marvelous. Yes, it's just marvelous. I'm just looking at here, just on these verses, the heart of Philippians is in chapter 3. And these verses, I'm not going to read these verses. I just want to bring up some verbs. Some verbs here. Paul's verbs regarding this matter of gaining Christ. Look, I start from verse 7. You see, the first thing Paul did was counting. The first verb is counting. You need to do some counting. We all need to do some counting. Counting, that means weighing. What is valuable and what is junky? You better count. Do some counting. Don't just say, well, the brother said it's good to pursue Christ. That doesn't work. What if the brother is not here? You need to do some personal counting. Amen. To yourself. Not even just with the Lord, with yourself. Do some counting. Right? What's junk? What's precious? The whole value system. You see, your value system. I think we have a message on this last training. You have to consider, right? And then the second thing is, he says, is what? Is suffer. Yes, I did use the word suffer. Because of this counting, Paul decided to suffer the loss of things. Well, no one would suffer if they don't count, if they are not convinced by their counting. Who would suffer the loss of all things? No one will. This world is too pretty, too attractive, too rewarding, quote unquote. Who would give it up? No one would give up this world if they have done some serious counting. And that counting caused Paul to decide to suffer the loss. You know, Moses did the same thing in Hebrews 11. Am I right? He considered what? The reproach with the children of Israel far greater, far better than the what? Treasures of Egypt. The pleasures and treasures of Egypt. Something like this. Moses did accounting. He did accounting for 40 years on the backside of the mountain. He counted. So when he decided to follow God, it was not just a kind of a sloppy decision, he got persuaded by somebody. No. He did a lot of serious counting before he made that decision. Brothers and sisters, is your decision to follow Jesus? The rest of your life? Is your decision to give yourself to be for God's purpose? For the church? For the rest of your life? I made that decision. I'll tell you, I always talk to my story. At 17, I made that decision. I knew I made that decision. And I did some serious counting. I didn't even know so much. I was 17. What do I know about what this world has to offer? But I tell you, I was blinded. I became crazy. I lost my mind, you may say. Because I saw too much of Christ. I smelled too much of Christ. I breathed in too much of Christ. I heard too much of Christ. I just did some counting. I said, Lord, I give my whole life to you. My life is just to serve you. My life is just to be for you. That's it. No matter where I go, no matter where I go, it is possible. And I decided to suffer. In other words, to be deprived of certain things that I could have gotten quite easily. Quite easily. And every turn in my life since then, I have to go back and affirm that decision again. When I go to college, I have to affirm that decision again. When I get out of college, I have to affirm my decision again. When I got my first job, I affirm my decision again. When I got married, I affirm that decision again. Every decision goes back to that, to my initial counting. And that's what kept me until this day. And every time I pull out the things to count, Christ always comes up on top. Amen. Jesus is always better. Amen. Everything pales. Everything turns to refuse. Amen. In front of the Lord Jesus. Of my Lord Jesus. I tell you, the suffering. Okay? And then the next thing, of course, is what? Gaining. We're here to gain something. Don't think the Christian life is one of a life of losing. I tell you, the Christian life is a life of gaining. Amen. Losing, yes. Losing the soul life, losing, all these things. But gaining, we're gaining Christ today. Today, brothers and sisters. Start now. Amen? Gentlemen, start your engines. I tell you, don't wait until, I've tasted the world, I've done this, I've been there, done that. Then I come back when I'm about 50 years old to follow the Lord Jesus. It's still not too late. I may still have 20 years left. I tell you, your math is terrible. I tell you, when do you start stepping on the gas and start pursuing? Today. I started my race at 17 years old. And I'm still running that race. I don't know what lap I'm in right now, but I am still in the race. Amen. Trust me, I'm still in the race. And you should not wait until later to start your race. You should start your race now. I'm so happy to hear that there's so many freshmen here, or something like this, right? The lower classmen here, or maybe there's some here that are just high school senior going into college this fall. I tell you, you are doing the right thing. Amen. I want to tell you, you are doing the right thing. Amen. To what? To get off your starting block and begin your lifelong race. Amen. To gain Christ. Amen. I mean, there's something there. I don't know how many laps later. Maybe a lap is a year. I tell you, it would be 50 laps later. 50, 60 laps later. I tell you, I don't know. Whether the Lord will come first or we will die first. But I tell you, Christ is to be gained. Amen. Give up the world. Right? Christ is our gain. You gain everything. Let me tell you, one day all those things will be burned. I'm going to guarantee you that. I'm going to sign my name to that. But there's one thing if you gain, you will never lose. And that, what you gain, will become your inheritance in the next age. And that is Christ.
Amen.
For sure. Today you say, oh, I'm giving this up, I'm giving that up. One day you will look back and say, I didn't give nothing up. I gave up junk. Do you go to your trash can and say, oh, I have to give up this? Throw in the trash. You're not giving anything up. It belongs there. Throw it in there. Put it out there for those dumb trucks to pick it up. Okay, we are here to gain Christ. All right? So that is the third. And the next one, next phrase, being found in Him. It sounds passive, but actually it's quite active. You have to exercise yourself to be found. Be found in Christ. In fact, the way to gain Christ is to be found in Him. Chad, where are you?
In Christ.
Amen. Well, that's marvelous. I tell you, we should live this kind of life. People will say, where did that guy go? Oh, he is in Christ.
Amen.
Your friends will say, where's our buddy? He got lost. Our drinking buddy, he got lost. Where did this guy? He is in Christ.
Amen.
Can't find him anymore. Let me tell you a story. This is real. There's a sister who is now still in Irvine. So he came from Taiwan. He came over here. He believed in the Lord, and he got baptized. And his mother, who is not a believer, is one of these kind of people who have contact with demons, with spirits. What do you call these kind of people? Divining or psychic or something. It's a Chinese. They really do, by the way. They contact demons. This is real. Don't be scared, but this is real. So, this mother tell the demon or the spirit, whatever it is, to go and find his daughter in the USA. And the demon or the spirit went and say, couldn't find her. Came back and told the mother, I couldn't find her. You know what happened? That sister just got baptized. He got transferred out of that realm where the demons and spirits are into Christ. So the spirits lost him. Lost her. Wouldn't you want to be someone that is so much in Christ that even with a GPS they can't find you? Because you are in another universe. You are in another realm where the spirit, evil spirit, cannot penetrate, where the demons don't know where it is. It is in Christ. So be found in Christ is not a small thing. Right? And not just baptism, it's just the first step, right? To be baptized into Christ, to believe into Christ. Henceforth, we live a whole life in the Christian life. It's just a life in Christ.
Amen.
Stay in Him. He is your protection. He is your bubble. All right? He is your sphere. He is your armor. He is your hiding place. He is your dwelling. Christ is my house. Christ is my castle. This is the safest place to be. Okay? All right? Of course, there's a lot. I'm not here to expound these portions. I'm just giving you some things here. And then another point is lay hold. Aha. Laying hold. Wow, this is really, really aggressive. Lay hold. Come up here, chat. Don't follow the Lord as I demonstrated, like this way. Okay, you're the Lord. Go walk. So I follow the Lord. Am I not following the Lord? Right. We'll just move. Okay, I'm following Jesus. He is Jesus, right? I'm following the Lord. Am I not following the Lord? I am. Okay. What kind of following is this? Okay. That kind of don't follow the Lord this way. Afar off. You know, when the Lord Jesus was arrested, all the disciples fled. Actually, they didn't flee. They were still following. far away. For 3.5 years, they were like right next to him. But when the Lord was arrested, they all followed the Lord from a distance. Never follow the Lord Jesus from a distance. That's not following. It says, laying hold. You need to lay hold. Lay hold. Okay, Chad, come on, right? How do I follow? I lay hold of him, right? Now you move. See, I'm just right. This is called closely following, right? I mean, I am just glued to him. I'm one with him. I am just joined to him, blended with him. Wherever he is, I automatically am. Because I lay hold of him. I lay hold of him. You have to lay hold of the Lord in this kind of way. This implies desperation. This implies a kind of what? A strong decision. This implies what? A kind of energy, a kind of exercise to not let the Lord go, right? To lay hold of him. Okay, another verb, forgetting. Young people learn to forget. The problem with young people is they don't forget. Now, at my age, I don't need to try to forget, I forget. But with you, your problem is you don't forget. Always thinking about this, always remembering this, always. Let me give you a secret to a happy Christian life, or life itself, is to forget. I forgot what happened this morning already. Isn't that wonderful? That means I live in the present. Christ is now. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. It's gone. It's over. The thing to do is to pursue him now. This moment, seize the moment, live for the moment, I would say, not in a worldly sense. Forgetting, just forget. You fail, forget. You succeed, forget. Why? Take the Lord's blood and move on. Pick up yourself and move on. Don't go back to the starting line. Just right where you fell, get up and start running again. Don't wallow, don't moan and groan. And feel sorry for yourself. This is called self-pity. The Lord doesn't care for self-pity. He cares that you will start running. Your failure is surely not good, right? I'm not saying justifying that. But to fail and wallow in it is even worse. You fail, you take the blood, you confess, you do whatever you need to do, and you start running again. Amen. Did I not fail? I failed too many times in this course of running. So many laps I have run. I run. But I tell you, by the Lord's... And there's sometime I did wallow a little bit, right? But I tell you, I'm learning the lesson. Get up! Deal with the thing and run again. Amen. Take the Lord's blood. Trust in the blood. Your wallowing means you don't believe in the power of the blood. That is to dishonor the Lord's. Right? Okay. What else? Stretching forward. Stretching. My, I tell you today, whether it's in the running or in swimming, I tell you, you know who wins? Sometimes it is just 1,000th of a second that decide who wins. Am I right? Who touched the wall first? Am I right? I tell you, that is stretching. I mean, it's not just kind of, you know, stretching means you really mean business. You are desperate. You know, you are stretching. Okay? Don't follow the Lord. Don't run this race in a nonchalant way. In a lukewarm way. Stretch. Stretch forward. Hit the tape. Lunge forward. When it comes to possessing Christ, gaining Christ. Another word, pursue. Of course, this is a big word we all know. Pursuing. Pursue. You know, this word actually means persecute. Not just, this is not just a walk in the park. This is you're going to persecute someone. The same word that is used the same thing that Paul did with the Christians when he was persecuting the church. Now he turned the same energy towards Christ. Oh, the single-mindedness. Oh, I tell you, we need this kind of attitude, spirit, to pursue Christ. Right? Okay, then the next one. Well, that's about it. Okay? How many verbs are there? I don't even know.
8 points.
Yeah, 8 points. Right. Okay, now, with the remaining, amen. Did you get something out of this fellowship?
Amen.
I really am so burdened for you. I mean, when I look at the young people, as I'm getting older myself, you're getting younger, right? Year after year, young people coming up. I tell you, the burden, it's just reignited, you know, instantaneously when I see your face. You don't know how much you mean to the Lord. You don't know how much you mean to the Lord. Sometimes even you don't treasure yourself that much. Nah, I'll just let go. I'll just, if I die early, so be it. I'm just going to just let go of myself. You want to let go of yourself? I said, that kills the Lord. That just hurt the Lord so much. I mean, he has done so much to make you, to save you, to keep you, and some of you who are born in the Lord's recovery, never, never regret that you're born in the Lord's recovery. You have to celebrate. You have to be happy that I'm born in Zion. This man and that man is born in Zion. This is not something to be shameful about. This is something to be quite proud about. What a privilege, what an honor to have parents who are for the Lord's recovery. That is not a shame. Satan wanted to put on you a sense of shame. Shame to him. It's just like the same thing to be shameful about your being a Christian. Shame to the devil. It is a glory to be a Christian. It's a glory to be in the Lord's recovery. You see? Don't give up on yourself. Don't never give up on yourself. Don't sell yourself so easily for a pot of porridge like Esau did. Don't do that. I mean, the Lord has done too much, way too much. The Lord had planned too much. The Lord had worked too much to keep you to this day. He needs you. He wants you. He must have you for himself, for his expression, for his ultimate expression, for his desire, his heart's desire. That's what you and I are made for. So don't never even entertain the thought of what? Of letting go, of giving up, of throwing in the towel, of quitting it. Don't do that. Don't even have the thought, I'll just go away for a few years, I'll come back. We've seen people who try that, they never came back. I'm not threatening you. No, I'm not doing that. But I've seen my share in these decades in the church life. Just one step in that direction, you never know what will happen. Don't even think about that. I tell you, these years, since I was 17 until now, that is my attitude. And I tell you, today I would say, the Lord was merciful. The Lord was merciful. And I have no regret. I have no regret. I've seen people who've done the other thing. They want to taste the water of the world. They want to drink of it. They want to drink from the Nile River. You know the Nile River? Eventually that river turned to blood. That means death. They don't know they're drinking death into them. I tell you, today, their lives are ruined. Even their physical life. Even physical life. I tell you, it is smart, intelligent to follow the Lord. To live for him. Young people, do that. Trust me, do that. Now, with the remaining time, and the brothers told me I have until 5:30, and I have only one session, so I'm going to cram it in. I want to say a word to you that I as a follow-up of the DVD that I did on Saturday. You know that I did a DVD on Saturday? Did some of you see that DVD?
Yes.
I'm not going to repeat those verses in Luke. I want to stress one thing, one key thing. And this key thing happened to be key in Philippians. Uh-huh. You know what this is? Your mind. Your mind. You know the book of Philippians, a book on the gaining and experience of Christ, stresses the mind more than the spirit. We would think the spirit is important, and it is. In fact, it is most important. Okay, don't take me wrong. Our spirit regenerated by the Lord's Spirit to become the mingled spirit where the triune God is, right? And where the eternal life is, right? And all the wonderful things are, that is our source. That is everything. No doubt about this. But when it comes to this, a life of pursuing and gaining and experiencing Christ, your mind is the key. Both, in other words, in the Christian life is a Christ experiencing and Christ enjoying life, right? Even your gospel life is a Christ experiencing life. The whole Christian life depends so much on your mind and the way you think. So I want to impress upon you young people, your mind is key. Your mind is key, a very important element in you. Now, what is your mind? We all know your mind is your intelligence. It is your mental faculty. This is the place where you consider. This is the place where you understand. This is the place where you reason, right? This is the place where you gain knowledge, where you process information, right? All of this. And this mind, which is one part of your soul together with your emotion and will, is the leading part of that soul. Your mind. Why is the mind so important? Because it is the leading part of your soul. So your soul is just your person, your personality. Your person is not your spirit. Your person is your soul. That's what makes you unique. That's what makes you you. What makes Brian, Brian, is Brian's soul, you see. So as such, this mind, I tell you, determine a lot of things. Now, what happened? In the fall, in the Garden of Eden, because man took into him the wrong tree, that is the element of Satan in himself, into himself, or the nature, the sinful nature of the evil one into him. So his body, that is his flesh, this thing just went off. I don't know what happened. Okay. The body becomes flesh, becomes polluted. The fallen body become the flesh with the lust and the passions and the evil desires. All right? The soul of man also got affected, also got touched and affected. It didn't lose its faculties, although it was diminished. But even more than that, it was what? It got what? It got changed. It got poisoned. So that the soul, which was made originally by God as a vehicle, as a way to express what is in man's spirit. Mary says, "My spirit exult in God," right? My soul magnifies the Lord. So the spirit is where the Lord is, where the enjoyment of God is, and the spirit, the soul is where he is magnified.
Yeah.
So that magnifying soul, God transformed into something else, into what? Into a fallen self, a fallen personality. Even though the faculties are there, those faculties are used in the wrong way. And more than that, the fallen man's mind becomes darkened, becomes vain. I'm using biblical words, becomes evil, you see? So from then on, man's mind, of course his whole soul, but the mind takes the lead, the mind, I tell you, becomes one with Satan. He starts to reason and think the way Satan wants him to reason and think. And he was not able to know God. He has become ignorant of God. This is Ephesians 4. His mind being darkened, his heart is hardened. And he's alienated from the life of God. He cannot know God. And his reasoning become vain. It's Romans 1:21. His vain reasoning. And in Ephesians 4, the vanity of the mind, 4:17, I think. The vanity of the mind. And let me tell you, this mind is important because this mind directs how you live, how you act, what you say, what you do. It determines that. Okay? So, as I said in that video, that today, you know, I talk about the Lord Jesus, that when he grew, it says he grew in wisdom. And it says, later on in verse 52, he advanced in wisdom. It's very important. Wisdom has to what? The source is the spirit, for sure. But I tell you, it permeates the mind. Permeates the mind. The Lord Jesus, when he was growing, I tell you, his mind was what? Was filled with the divine wisdom. So to him, I tell you, everything is clear. Everything is clear. He knew what's up and what's down. What's God and what's Satan. He was clear. I mean, he was 12 years old. Or at least before 30 years old. Your age. And I made the point in that DVD, I said today, I look at some young people, it's like, I couldn't say they lost their mind, but their mind is not functioning right. Seriously, young people, their mind is just kind of not right. You know, recently I found out that in the internet, there's this thing called Second Life. You know what Second Life is? Second Life is a whole virtual community. Means there's nothing there. And it has become... No, listen to me. It has become an alternate universe for people who live in the internet. It has replaced the real reality. That becomes their reality. They don't know how to interact in this realm. To be sociable, to interact. They don't know how. But they know how to be there. And they project themselves there, you know, say like, I'm some pear shape, you know. Geek or something like that. But in this alternate universe, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that becomes so real to you, you live that way, and that's you. That's your alter ego, and that becomes more real than you sitting here in front of the computer. It's real. Don't think I don't study these things. And in this second life alternate universe, they have their own money. And they can use that money can be translated into the real money. And people have invested all kinds of money to invest in real estate in this alternate universe, which is nothing. There's no such thing. But it's real in their mind. And today, even schools, I don't know whether Sacramento State, but certainly a number of schools are getting into this programming, this thing, so that they can offer virtual classes for people, so you can get in there and go to a classroom in this universe and study. Do you believe this? I mean, talk about tricking your mind. This has got to be an ultimate trick. Something that is non-existent in digital, whatever, becomes more real than your life today. And the world is going that way. And so I heard one of the top guys who are in this kind of realm, I don't know exactly this or what, but in this kind of realm, computer game or this or what, I don't know what is what, but one of the top, he's a young man. He is the top in this world. He is like well known, you know, by some pseudonym or some, I don't know what, was found dead, you know where? On his chair with the computer in front of him. He was glued to the chair, I don't know for how many days, and who couldn't get out. You know, on him is feces, and you know what I mean? He's gone to the bathroom, he died on the chair in front of the computer, in his universe. I don't think he's the only person. And you know, today you go in this computer gaming, you know, fighting with someone and this and the dragons and this, I don't know what it is. I tell you, you are in another world. That virtual world becomes real to you. You become one of those things. You know, blowing people up or I don't know what you do. And there's some more tame ones, you know, building a city and do you know who is behind all of this? I'm not saying you should not use the internet to do research, right? You know what I'm talking about. Do you know who is behind this? Satan, manipulating your fallen mind, your vain, empty, darkened mind. This is placed right up his alley. And he uses internet, all these things, to just warp you. And these people, by the way, they don't get out of their room. They don't get out of their room. And I tell you, don't think this is not in the Lord's recovery. I can tell you it is. Maybe not to this extent. Brothers, especially, sisters may do less of this, but the female ratio of getting into this stuff is rising. Not just a man's world, a young man's world anymore. Young brothers, don't think this is just some diversion, you know, a little bit of, you know, recreation. You start with a recreational drug, the next thing you're a heroin addict. That's how it all started. Just with a few pills, the next thing you're an addict. This is an addiction. This is sickness. And this is Satan. Be very, very careful about the internet. Today, the internet is more powerful than TV, than movies, than anything. It's right in front of you in the privacy of your room. Nobody knows. You just lock the door for days, for hours. Who knows what you're looking at? Who knows what you're watching? Who knows what you're becoming? Well, my point is the mind. Is the mind. Oh, you know, I almost have to close. You know, negatively, brothers and sisters, you must be be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The spirit has to become the spirit of your mind. I tell you, all our minds need desperate transformation. Talk about pursuing Christ. Talk about counting. It's all a matter of the mind. Oh, today Satan is just to what? Just to steal your mind and play with it and manipulate it and do all kinds of funny things to it that you don't even know. And you gladly hand it over. You all have to say, I refuse to let Satan touch my mind.
Amen.
My mind, it's fallen, but it's for the Spirit to transform it.
Amen.
I submit it to the Spirit. And in Romans 8, it says, set your mind on the Spirit. That's how it is transformed. You know what you should do with your mind? Set it on the Spirit.
That's right.
Make it dependent on the Spirit. Make it relying on the Spirit. Make it stay with the Spirit. By what? By your calling on the Lord, especially by prayer reading, by reading the Word. That's why you need to read the Word. You just lock your mind. Lock it on the Spirit.
That's right.
And it will be transformed. But if you let it go into all these things I'm talking about, your mind will not be transformed. It will become vain. You know, the word is vain. Vain means what? Vain means unprofitable. Vain means empty. Vain means zero. Today, people's reasonings are vain. All what are they thinking are vain. Meaningless. They can talk for hours. It's just a bunch. It's meaningless at the end of the day. Meaningless. But what this Bible talks about is meaningful. But the devil will trick you and say, this is meaningless and that is meaningful. Wrong. Wrong. So the first thing is you need the Spirit. You need to set your mind on the Spirit. The second thing is you need the Word. You need the full excellency of the full knowledge of Christ. You need to read the Bible. The Bible washes and sanctifies and cleanses you, especially your mind. Especially your mind. To be renewed is to be mainly be renewed in your mind. I like to see in the Lord's recovery a group of young people different from people, young people in the world.
Amen.
They reason properly. They have proper. They have clarity. You know what I mean? They have light in them. They say things they know what they're talking about the meaning of life. You know, things are proper in their proper place. Today you go there, you just don't know what is what up, what is right, what is wrong. And because of the vain reasoning, it says God gave them up to a disapproved mind. And it is that the context is Romans 1, and that is the context that talks about fornication, homosexuality, Sodom, and Gomorrah, because people have been given up to a disapproved mind. It's like God gave them up. God cannot do anything about that. In their mind, they're so justified that their life, their lifestyle, what they do. It does not start with their body. It really starts with the mind. Of course, the body is bad. But your mind. And I'm not saying that you just, you know, exercise your mind just to use your good mind. Because eventually, the law of the sin and death in your flesh is stronger than the law of good in your mind. We know that. So I'm not saying you just make some decision. What I mean is, let your mind be attached to the Spirit. Set it on the Spirit. Turn it to the Spirit. That's why we need to pray, read. We need to call on the Lord. We need to read the Bible. Keep your mind in the Spirit and in the Word as often as you can.
Amen.
You'll see your mind become renewed. You see, it will not be vain. It will not be darkened. Your reasoning is proper. You have the proper humanity of Jesus. The proper humanity of Jesus depends very much on the thinking, the mindset, the reasoning of that human, of that person. Right? Positively, I have to wrap it up here. I have no time. You read the verses. You know, in Philippians, I just read one verse to you, and that is in in 3:15, let us therefore, as many as are full grown, have this mind. He was just finished talking about all those verbs I'm talking about. Then he can say, let as many of you are full grown, have this mind. This is a mind matter. This is a mind. That means put your focus on this. Think this. Fill your mind with this. With this kind of thinking. Have this mind. Think this. The Greek means think this. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, you think other way, God will reveal it to you. Brothers and sisters, what thinking? Thinking those eight things I just talked about. Thinking about all that you have heard in this training. Don't go back, close your notebook. It's nice notebook. File it away, you know, year after year. You know, last year I have one, this year I have one. Just stick there. No, go back. When you leave Sacramento, start thinking about this week.
Amen.
Start thinking about these messages. Start thinking about this word. Reread Philippians. And I challenge you to reread Luke. Am I right? Read that word. Pray read that word. I tell you, your mind will think differently. Your mind will think and properly. Okay? And whatever your professor talks about, whatever your friend or the world talks about, you will not be so susceptible, vulnerable to all that junk because your thinking is so clear. So here, and a number of places about the mind of Christ, so on, think the one thing, right? Think the same thing. It's all over in this book. In this book of pursuing Christ to gain Christ, I tell you, it's how you think. Amen?
Amen.
So young people, positively, negatively, guard your mind. Set your mind on the Spirit, right?
Yes.
And let it be transformed.
Amen.
And positively, think Christ.
Amen.
Focus on Christ.
Amen.
Let Christ become the centrality and universality of your whole being.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
How about this?
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I like to see you. This is not just a one-week training. And not even just, I'll come back next year. I tell you, I like to see you this whole year.
Amen.
It's not a blank this whole year, see you next year again. I tell you, now after this training, you have to go to your campuses thinking this way.
Amen.
Practicing these things that you have heard. Am I right? How about this?
Amen.
And by doing so, others will be attracted by you.
Amen.
To be the same way.
Amen.
Then the Lord's recovery will have a future.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, nothing matters in this universe but Christ.
Amen.
Christ is everything.
Amen.
Love Him.
Amen.
Ah, lay hold of Him.
Amen.
Stretch forth to gain Him.
Amen.
Pursue Him.
Amen.
Everything else is dung, is refuse, is vain. Christ is the only thing that matters.
Amen.
Because He is the only one that matters to God.
Amen.
He has to be the only one that matters to us.
Amen.
One day the whole universe will pass away.
Amen.
Only Christ will remain.
Amen.
And we want to be a part of that Christ.
Amen.
In His eternal manifestation.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, I stop here. How about we just have a little prayer, we can go.